Well, good afternoon, everyone. How are we all doing? Good? Got enough energy for one more presentation? I hope everyone's been having a good conference and a lot of good idea sharing and fellowship and also learning about things that we can take back to our diocese and our schools and parishes. So let's go ahead and begin in prayer. I'm going to pull up the prayer on the Whova app. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry, and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings the hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Well, thank you all very much. My name is Brian Kelly, and I'm with the Archdiocese of St. Louis. I've been there for 4 years. My current role with the Annual Catholic Appeal for 2 years, and this is my second conference. But I'm here to introduce Kathy Zimmerman. She's our speaker today, and she's going to be leading a panel discussion with their Women's Giving Circle for the Community Foundation here in New Orleans. My understanding is Kathy's been an educator her whole life, and is also a mother and a grandmother, and is also the executive director of the...
No, I'm not the executive director.
Oh, pardon me. For the Community Foundation. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Kathy. If anyone has any questions, please just raise your hand and I'll bring the mic to you. And Kathy, take it away.
Thank you all for being here. I appreciate your attendance and hope that what I share with you today will be helpful to you in initiating your own giving circle, or perhaps if you have a giving circle already, you may get some ideas on how to change things up. Our panel, our three-person panel, is made up of longtime Women's Giving Circle members, and I'll be introducing them further into the talk. I actually had another prayer, so it's a very short prayer, so let's just say this. This is a prayer of generosity. Giving God, we receive so much from you, and therefore have much to give. Help us to share in the blessings of giving, as well as the happiness of receiving, that your love may be more widely shared through Christ our Lord. Amen. So, let's get started. How many of you are from a diocese that currently hosts a giving circle? Anyone? Okay, just a handful. Okay, great. How many of you are with a parish or other entity that is considering possibly a giving circle? Wonderful. We're going to start very, very basic. We're going to go through what a giving circle is, some characteristics, how CCF, the Catholic Community Foundation here in New Orleans, has managed its giving circle the last 9 years. And then I will pose questions for the panel who have had lots of experience with the giving circle as part of their committee work and directing the circle. And then we'll go into how you may initiate your own. So that's basically what we're going to do. And I will leave time for Q&A at the end as well. So, what is a giving circle? A giving circle is very simply a group of individuals that come together, so they have shared interest, pool their charitable donations from all their members, and then make collective decisions on what to do with that pooled money. So that's basically what a giving circle is. And there are giving circles throughout the world, not just in the United States. And all of them have these three characteristics in common. This is basically what a giving circle is. Today we're going to concentrate more closely on women's giving circles, but there are giving circles that are made of men. Now, men probably can't do it exactly the same as we do it, and it has to be different because men donors are different from women donors. So it's going to be different, but they are men who make up giving circles as well. This more innovative and engaged form of philanthropy started in the 1990s, displacing the traditional belief that you just needed to be a billionaire to be a philanthropist. And giving circles and other collective groups are changing the landscape of community philanthropy throughout the United States and throughout the world as well. According to the Axios Business April 2024 report, it's estimated that there are 4,000 giving circles, and that is incorrect. It's not globally. It's within the United States, with approximately 370,000 members. And collectively, these 4,000 giving circles gave away $3 billion over a five-year period ending in 2023. Giving circle memberships, and I thought this was an interesting statistic, giving circles and membership numbers tripled between 2007 and 2016 and tripled again between 2016 and 2023. The Catholic Community Foundation's Women's Giving Circle has been in existence since 2016, so we were part of that second wave of triple numbers. However, women's giving circles, and specifically giving circles, are on pace to double again in the next 5 years. So this is a very, very powerful type of philanthropy and something which all of us should really be aware of and perhaps consider having your foundation consider sponsoring such. Sandra Shaw Hardy, who is often called the mother of giving circles in the United States and is among the most knowledgeable about giving circles, has linked giving circles with making philanthropy much more democratic. In other words, giving circles has given women an opportunity to be in the mix and not just, you know, the old traditional idea of philanthropy was the men's job, the men decided how to invest money or how to give away their money. One thing seems certain. Giving circles will continue to grow globally and possibly without geographic boundaries, probably virtual connections perhaps. And in this increasingly sterile world, giving circles truly create real community and focus, because they focus on collaboration, they focus on empowerment, and it focuses on learning. And I think you will see that when the panel shares their ideas, that each of these collaboration, empowerment, and learning are three of the most important aspects of and benefits of being a part of a giving circle. Women, we know, have historically given their time to their communities, and the rise in the number of women's giving circles certainly mirrors this trend. With increased access to education, income over the last few decades, women are yielding greater wealth and power. They're becoming part of membership on boards. They are, you know, have their own wealth, and they have been truly poised to create an awareness and to be part of putting forth the issues in politics, social, economic, and political issues of our society and put them in the forefront and have something happen to improve those situations. Women approach philanthropy and giving a lot different than men do. Women tend to focus upon their giving as a situation in which they need to feel engaged. And a women's giving circle is a tool in which women feel engaged. It is an engaged form of philanthropy. They are a part of the decision making. Women need to seek, build relationships through their philanthropic efforts. And Women's Giving Circle fits that bill as well. What drives their giving is their personal values and their desire to make a meaningful impact. And again, Women's Giving Circle fulfill that aspect of, and that part of a women's drive to give. Because of these factors, joining a Women's Giving Circle is a great way for women to make a difference in their community. Philanthropy Today, the March 6th Philanthropy Today, refers to giving circles as a powerful vehicle for proactive, intentional social change. Again, according to expert Sandra Shaw Hardy, women's giving circles provide an accessible point into philanthropy. It connects like-minded individuals to enable a collective impact. Let's look more closely at the characteristics of a giving circle. And those of you in the audience who host your own giving circle, let's see which of these characteristics you can identify as being part of your own group. First and foremost, the majority of giving circles are made of women. One statistic I found in doing some research said 60%, but that is much too low. It's much more, in my opinion, closer to 80% are made up of women. These women are civically engaged individuals. They support charities that are often small and local. They're interested in racial equality and inclusion. They pool their money. But in addition to their money, they often pool their time and talents. So we've had a situation in our 9 years of existence in which several of our women have learned about some of the ministries in need and have gone forth and helped them financially with their own extra resources and have also gone back to volunteer or to collect supplies for that particular ministry because they felt a connection with them. Giving circles also decide together and often fund multiple projects. So for example, in a typical year, our Women's Giving Circle funds anywhere from 8 to 10 ministries with varied levels. This past year, we actually funded all 25 that offered proposals, and I'll get into that a little bit later. Women's Giving Circles are often based on trust-based philanthropy because it's usually an unrestricted gift, though it is connected with the proposal that the organization has given to the giving circle. Volunteers within the circle help with tasks. And I think each of our three women can think about that. Our giving circle has 5 different subcommittees, 2 of which were just formed in the last 2 years. Because again, it's directed by the Catholic Community Foundation, but it's driven by our women. So we want them to be a part of it. Women in the Women's Giving Circle self-identify as a philanthropist only after joining the circle. So they may have given thousands of dollars each year to different charities, but they didn't consider themselves a philanthropist until they became a part of something bigger, a part of a Women's Giving Circle. This is worth repeating. I am a philanthropist. A giving circle member self-identifies as a philanthropist only after joining the circle. So they didn't consider themselves as being a philanthropist. They didn't consider themselves as being a true donor that was making a difference. But now they're part of something bigger, something that's making a bigger impact because they've joined together. They've joined their resources together and are able to truly make a big impact. The fact that a Giving Circle member self-identifies as a philanthropist only after joining the Women's Giving Circle really shows the true power and the reason for starting one. The fact that behavior is changed. Donors' attitude is initially changed, their perspective is changed, and ultimately their behavior is changed when they self-identify as a philanthropist and are a part of something bigger. So looking at these characteristics, you can see, hopefully each of you who has her own or his own Giving Circle can see that it's a collaborative effort that happens when these women join together and make a bigger impact. So let's talk more closely about the Catholic Community Foundation's Women's Giving Circle. The intersection of an organization's mission and the passion of women uniting in a giving circle is truly dynamic. I am honored by the opportunity to work with over 200 generous, devout, genuine women, joyful women, leaders in the local community that make up CCF's Women's Giving Circle. Our Women's Giving Circle began in 2016 as an initiative of the Catholic Community Foundation, Archdiocese of New Orleans. It was the vision of one of CCF's directors. She was the director of planned giving at the time. And some of you may know her, Josephine Everly. Many of you may know her. She's now Vice President of Advancement at the Pontifical Mission Society of the United States. Josephine had read of the success of reading of giving circles. And did I do something? Sorry. I think I may have done something with the technology here. One moment, please. Josephine had read of the success of several giving circles throughout the United States, and serving the foundation, she had two dynamic women, Stacy Pellerin and Darlene Robert, who were donors, CCF committee members, and women who were very connected with their community, the larger Catholic community, and this provided the perfect climate for initiating the Women's Giving Circle. And luckily, Stacy and Darlene said yes. These two leaders came together, formed a steering committee, asking friends, family members, and neighbors to join. The first job of the steering committee was to talk about the vision and their values. They came together and created this mission statement. Through collective giving, collaboration, and shared faith, CCF's Women's Giving Circle seeks to promote philanthropy that empowers women, compels action, and glorifies God. So the women came together, worked together, put their heads together, and came up with this mission statement, which is the driving force of our Women's Giving Circle, and still is. In my over 8 years of experience working with the Women's Giving Circle, I can attest to the benefits of starting a Women's Giving Circle. So what are the benefits of hosting a Women's Giving Circle? First of all, there's increased visibility of your organization to the community. Through the Women's Giving Circle and through their outreach to potential members and to potential grantee organizations, more community leaders know who CCF is. Years ago, I can remember when I first started at the Catholic Community Foundation, some of my friends would ask me, "Who do you work for?" They thought it was Catholic Charities, but it wasn't. I said, "Catholic Community Foundation, what does that do?" I'm telling you, I can attest to that myself, that we were an unknown, you know, commodity by many people within the community. But through the Women's Giving Circle, it's become a vehicle to let community know exactly who we are and how powerful a force we are by, number one, hosting such a wonderful group of women donors, but also we do many other things. So it gives them an opportunity to learn a little bit more about us. A second benefit is that there are increased number of donors to your organization and the building of trust. Corey Howitt, our foundation's executive director, can possibly report better on that. But CCF has increased the number of fund holders in the years since our Women's Giving Circle has started. And several of our Women's Giving Circle members have become donor, have opened donor advised funds and other types of vehicles. But the thing is, after learning about the foundation, there's a feeling of trust. I mean, some of the donors, you have a certain level of donation that we're asked to get, they're asked to give each year. And some of them will give double that or will give extra or say, oh, I can't do it, but just keep my money. Or I gave double this year, just keep it and I'll give again next year. So, I mean, there's a sense of trust in the fact that the foundation, who is hosting the Giving Circle, is trustworthy, is someone they value and respect. So this reflects their energy and their commitment. And this CCF, in their part, the engagement strategy that we use with our Giving Circle honors the values and honors their the women's approaches to philanthropy and doesn't just disregard their feelings. A third benefit to the hosting of Women's Giving Circle is an increased number of engagement opportunities. Through our Women's Giving Circle, we host 4 events a year, 3 in the spring, and 1 in the fall. And each of those 4 events are opportunities for the foundation to connect with the donors. Corey's at a lot of the events. Several other members of our staff are at the events. So it becomes a tool in which we can make our foundation more visible within the community and among our women donors. In summary, the power of many donors working together as one impacts the host and the nonprofit beneficiary organizations for the better, makes our community better. Now, what are the benefits for a Women's Giving Circle donor? There are many, and I think each of our panelists and Julie Vanderbrook can attest to that. The first one is accessibility. The Giving Circle is open to anyone of any age, place, or funding interest. Secondly, collaboration. Because the members make decisions together, it's a democratic process. Empowerment. Members leverage their dollars to do something bigger than what they could do on their own. Education. Members learn about the needs of their community and are intentional or can become more intentional about their giving. Engagement. Aside from actively participating in the decision-making process, they have a chance to volunteer and assist these grantee organizations in other ways. Community. The connection among members with shared goals is something beautiful to see. It really does create meaningful relationships. One member who just joined this year, I had known from some other community activities that I am involved with. She came by herself. So very often, a lot of women will join together with a couple of their friends or whatever. Well, this woman came in. She didn't know who was a member of the Giving Circle. And she immediately told me that she felt a part of something. She felt that the women were engaging, connected with her. She felt comfortable. So it's a camaraderie that's built that's really beautiful to see. And of course, enjoyment. The social environment built up at each of our events is something I think gives an opportunity for the members to learn more about each other, to connect in other ways as well. So both of these sets of benefits, those for the host organization and those for the individual donor, are really significant and shows you the power of this form of pool philanthropy. So you might be asking yourself, how does it really work? This is these next couple of slides are taken from our charter, which kind of shows you how the group beginning, the steering committee and its leaders, Darlene and Stacy, came about in creating something meaningful that, and we still use our charter today. First of all, the purpose. What is the purpose of our Women's Giving Circle? To create a community of philanthropy-minded Catholic women, I think I said it wrong, to raise awareness and funds. Designed as a giving circle, this group will leverage a pool donor advice fund to create a bigger impact on the organizations they select. Mission seeks to promote philanthropy that empowers women, compels action, and glorifies God. We've seen that already. And I can attest to the fact that we put God, we have a mass with every one of our four events each year, and it's a very powerful part of what we do. Membership. The Giving Circle is open to all members, and those over the age of 40 put up a donation of the donation that goes in the pool. They put up $1,100 a year, but 1,000 of that 1,100 goes into the grant pool. Those under the age of 40 put up $600 a year, and 500 of which goes into the grant pool. So I apologize for the typo there. We also, in addition to our executive committee, we have a steering committee, as I've told you about. We also have a grant committee, which is a very hard-working committee. And the last couple of years, I've formed two extra committees, Liturgy Planning Committee and Event Support Committee, because I need help. So the steering committee is working with the executive committee in making decisions and in guiding some of the planning. The grants committee, of course, is researching the organizations to make sure that we are giving to an organization that's viable, that's respected. The liturgy planning committee is helping with the planning of the masses and rosaries and such that we do, and the event support is helping with the actual day of the event and up to that. So what is the Catholic community? What is the true role of the executive committee? The executive committee is made up of four members. Two are current. I don't think I have a slide on this. Two are current board members, CCF board members, and two are co-chairs selected by the executive committee and the CCF board rep. So this executive committee has two chairs among them, each of whom serves a two calendar year, and there'll be a senior co-chair and a junior co-chair so that there is overlap in that, so that there's never a situation whereby one of the co-chairs is not aware and has done it for at least a year. Governance. The executive committee, as I said, is made up of four members. Their duties is to support the steering committee, to determine the focus area for grants. So our focus area for our grants each year changes. So this particular year, we had as our focus area innovation, which was a very challenging focus area. We've had in the past women, the needs of women as a focus area. We've had children in the family as a focus area. Other years we've had sometimes something that was a little too vague, sometimes something that was a little too specific, but it is a learning process. So the focus area changes every year. The executive committee reviews the grant committee recommendations. So the grant committee researches the organizations to make sure they're viable, make sure that the proposals are appropriate, and makes recommendations to the executive committee, who then reviews and accepts that, those recommendations or asks for something different. Ensure that the budget is here too, because we do have a budget. We want to make sure that all that money stays into our grant pool and that is never touched. That goes into the grant pool from the very beginning, and approves materials and outreach plans. What is CCF's role and the duties of the CCF liaison? So this is my job. I am the liaison. So sometimes my job is a little overwhelming, I must say, but other times most of the time it's wonderful, I have to tell you. So basically my job as a liaison is to schedule and attend the planning meetings, to record and distribute the minutes, to work with the grant proposals and the applications to make sure those are appropriate. Communication, and most of our communication is by email, text, phone calls, but a lot through e-blast, to plan the events, the communication and the timeline for the events. So as I said before, we have four events a year, three in the spring. So we have a kickoff luncheon, usually in March, and that kicks off the year. At that kickoff luncheon, the membership is given a list of the proposals from the organizations that have been vetted by the grant committee. And so each of our members will get a list of those organizations. After that is given out, we give them a time to do their own research, to look into those organizations, and then we have our first round of voting. Our first round of voting after the kickoff, and then the top 8 to 10 organizations are invited to the second event, which is our Sip and Learn, in which they give a presentation. There's a second round of voting, and then we award checks at the celebration. So it's a 6 to 8 week period in the spring in which this happens. And most of the women find that remarkable, that an organization can propose something and within 2 months they get their check to get started on that project. So let's talk more specifically about our logo and the patroness that we have chosen for the Women's Giving Circle. The most perfect patroness has been chosen by our planning committee, by our executive committee from 9 years ago, and that patroness is Saint Joan of Arc. She's a role model for each of us, courage, wisdom, and I think she really epitomizes the spirit of our women. Whom would you choose as your own patroness? Do any of you who have a giving circle have a patroness? Those of you who have a giving circle, do you have a saint or a patroness that you've chosen? So you'll notice that each of our panelists have a pin or a slide, as I have. So this is our St. Joan of Arc pin that each of our members gets when they join. So we had Tiffany Adler design those for us, so each of our members gets that. So they really feel part of I guess it sounds almost like a little sorority kind of thing, doesn't it? So if you had to choose a patroness, whom would it be? Those of you who may be thinking about, what saint would you choose or what woman would you choose as your patroness? Anybody? Whom would you choose? Mm-hmm. In the back? Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. So where does the Giving Circle, the Catholic Community's Women's Giving Circle, make its greatest impact? In the 9 years that we've had our Women's Giving Circle, the members have given resources of over $1.4 million to over 70 different ministries, most of within the Archdiocese of New Orleans. The Catholic Community Foundation provides the group with presentations by the ministries and the opportunity to travel by bus together to see the true impact. So we have our three spring events. We've given the checks. In the fall, we have our impact bus tour, and that is scheduled this year for October 16th, in which we will visit to do site visits of the organizations and see the true impact. Now, some of the organizations just have offices, and they don't really have something to see. So some of them will give an in-person presentation. Others will send a video to show their impact. And, or others will just put together a collage of pictures and send a report. But we require a report from every organization to whom we have given our money. As you can see, CCF's Women's Giving Circle stands united and is guided by the six C's of women's philanthropy: create, change, commit, collaborate, and celebrate. So at this time, I would like to introduce our panelists. And as I said before, all three of these panelists are longtime members of our Women's Giving Circle. As you know, each individual brings her own story. Each shares her own unique values and experiences. And each story offers a glimpse into what ignites their passion. These first two ladies were tasked with starting CCF's Women's Giving Circle: Stacy Pellerin, Darlene Robert. The third member of our Giving Circle is Celie Clark, who has tirelessly served on the grant committee for the last 5 years. And Celie's devotion to the Giving Circle has led her to accept our invitation to serve as 2025 co-chair with her cousin Julie Vanderbrook. So let me get our panelists ready with a series of questions. And the first question is going to be for our initiators of our Giving Circle, Darlene and Stacy. Stacy and Darlene, please share with our audience just exactly what inspired you to navigate and start the Women's Giving Circle for CCF.
Well, thanks to Josephine, she had experience with a secular giving circle in New Orleans. And we'd receive these letters in the mail, and I knew a lot of people that were members. And I'm like, I'm not sure where they'll contribute. You know, you just morally, Darlene and I would talk about it, and we're like, we can't join this. So Josephine had experience, and she said, well, why don't we start a Catholic one? We're like, we're game. So, and thanks to Corey, he is innovative himself. I mean, he is so creative and always open for a challenge, and he trusted that we wouldn't embarrass him too much because we started with nothing. And as you know, running a foundation, it's not like he could hand over everyone that has a fund. We had zero mailing list. We had a blank sheet of paper. So that's when you call on your friends and from every Catholic organization we're a member. But I have to back up. We had the Catholic Women in Action, which had a base where we'd put on Lenten reflections and Advent reflections. So we already had this group, this committee of these 12 to 15 women that were just dynamos. So then we all went and reached that next circle of friends, of people we just know that we know from church or from our kids' school. So we asked everyone to put together a list. So we basically started with a blank Excel spreadsheet. So people would hand over sheets of paper at a meeting and they'd handwrite letter, you know, handwrite little addresses. So we compiled all those lists and it was, kind of a miracle because we wanted to have 100 people and Darlene and I were on the phone texting, emailing and just, you know, saying, hey, did you receive that letter? Did you get that text? Are you interested? And at one point, we had maybe 90 people, and we're just 10 short. Kickoff was in a few weeks. And what we realized is we can do all the work, but if we don't turn to God and put it in his hands, it's not going to be successful. So at that point, we talked, and we're like, we just need to pray. And a few hours later, we called the office, and Josephine's like, we have 100 people. So, you know, and the whole thing is that if it's meant to be, God will show us and open the doors, because we really didn't know what we were doing. And we met a ton of people from this, and it's been an amazing experience.
Darlene, do you have something to share?
First of all, Kath, you did an excellent job laying out the procedures on how to go forward, how to, because this is a scary task, you know, asking people for money that is not a small amount, $1,100, the $1,000 is what goes toward the grant. But the impact of, as Stacy said, what God also granted us was just an amazing impact that first year. Within that six-month period, you send out your letters, you collect your money, you meet, you discuss these organizations and ministries, about 25 to 30 back then, and you vote all along, you top 10, then you come back and listen to more, a discussion about the ministries, and then you allot your funds to the first 8 to 10 organizations. And the money was granted to them in May. And in October, we did our first bus tour. And I remember Coventry House needed a vehicle so that they could... Needed a vehicle so that they could try to do something to stop human trafficking and the homeless people on the streets. And within that period of time, they were able to purchase the vehicle. They reported to us the number of children and young women and men that were not able to get off the streets that they were able to bring into the Covenant House, as well as Hotel Hope. Hotel Hope existed in a half of a shotgun double, and they were trying to house at least three families in the shotgun double the first year we met them and went on the grounds. By the time we went back for the bus tour, they had plans of expanding the other side of the double. Now they exist in a hotel. They were able to, and it's 9 years later. I think they've been a recipient of ours at least
four times. Yeah.
But to see how they have grown, our members who are now, we've doubled what our goal was, none of us knew anything about these ministries that were picked. I mean, no one had ever heard of Hotel Hope. The amount that you were exposed to was so limited, and we got to learn about big and small ministries, how they function, how they operate, what are their immediate needs, and to watch your group be able to collect these funds, disperse them, and see it executed and make a difference in these organizations one after another over these years has been amazing. So that's one of the greatest gifts. You hear from our members all the time. Many women that just don't know where to put their funds and want to make a difference but have limitations. But when they come together with these other women, they're like powerhouses out there making huge differences that they can see. And so that's been one of the most rewarding experiences that I personally have had, and I think many of our members.
Okay, let's go to our second question. And this question is all for all three of our panelists. What does charitable giving mean to you personally? And more specifically, how has your involvement with the Giving Circle influenced your views on community and philanthropy? Celie, do you want to start us off?
Sure, I'll be happy to. So just a little side note, I was not part of the original group. Matter of fact, I was very resistant to joining this group. I got invited the first 3 years that I said, I don't think that's what I really want to do. And my husband and I have very specific organizations and ministries that we have been supporting through the years. We love them. We know what they stand for, what their impact is. And I don't know if I put my money in this pot really where it's going. But by the third year, there were too many people that I knew who were coming back to say what the impact had been. And the number of organizations that they had discovered through the Giving Circle that I didn't know were even in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And so by the third year was when I put my money in the basket and was then very happy to see how that came together. Now, you're talking about over 100 women at that time. To get 100 women to agree on anything, I think, is a success. So the fact that this 100 would come forth and vote and be happy in the fact that there was great fellowship. Of course, it's very Christocentric. Christ is the center of this. We begin with Mass. I love that fact. I love the fact that the organizations we contribute to are all Catholic, all ministering within the Archdiocese. And to then turn around and see, especially the smaller ministries that I did not know existed, what their needs were and the groups that they were reaching out to has been extremely impactful.
Well said.
Stacy, you have something to share?
I've learned so much. I think through education and learning from each other, it's been very impactful for me personally. The bus tour kind of puts the icing on the cake because after you give and then you get to go hear from people that you had an impact. The home, it just imprinted in my heart, many of the organizations. One of them, it was, it's a home where people bring their children that they can't care for. They have many physical and emotional.
It's ill. Therapeutic Family Services, mm-hmm. and Ministry of Catholic Charities.
It's on the West Bank, and we went there, and it was sad at first, but then they're so loved by the staff, but they needed a bus because when hurricane season.
Oh no! That's not Therapeutic Family Services. That's Padua House.
Thank you. That was it. And when we went there, they needed a bus to evacuate the residents for hurricane, and they only had one, and they can't fit them all on that bus. So our donation through the Giving Circle was able. They were able to provide another bus so they could evacuate people with oxygen and, wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And it's, so just to see the impact, and then it helps us, when my husband and I are giving, you were more, aware of all the organizations in our city. So I think, it's been interesting and enlightening. We were going for the first tour of Hotel Hope, the one Darlene was talking about, where they take in moms and children. And in other organizations, if a boy is over 14, they couldn't stay with their family. So Hotel Hope kept the mom and all the children together. And we were there, and I saw a woman that, has a huge foundation. And after she went ahead and pulled them aside and, makes a big donation. So we're making a big impact, but by bringing everyone, it's making an even larger impact by exposing other people in our community to these organizations.
And they'll be brief, but the only other part that I would add is that being exposed to these organizations, these women have also given their time. So So monetarily is one thing, but we have been able to find a place where we can volunteer throughout the year, and as the year's gone by, many years, to make a difference. Many of our ladies that originally learned about these different organizations have either become board members, regular volunteers, they have schedules, and plenty of the ministries depend on them. So that's been a big part as well. So not only have we been able to give of ourselves monetarily, but we've also been able to give our time and our efforts.
Okay, let's move on to our third question. And Celie, I'm going to ask you to start. Ladies, how has being a part of the Women's Giving Circle impacted you personally, aside from your views on philanthropy, aside from your views about your community? How has it impacted you personally? And Celie, if you could specifically talk about some of your work with the Grant Committee.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor to be a part of the Grant Committee. And just a little side note to what that does is we do the research. So before the group as a whole meets for the first time, we have vetted organizations who are going to meet that focus mission for that particular year. So if the mission is the focus is about children in the family, we're reaching out to find those ministries, organizations, find out what their needs are, what they would need in a grant, and how they would use the grant, and then being able to present that to the group as a whole, so that they can begin to get to know this organization if they don't have any prior knowledge of them. For me personally, in the fact of doing that research has opened up a world of doors for me that I didn't know most of these organizations existed. The big ones that you hear about, and a lot of those have gotten other funding. But the little organizations, an organization that reaches out to take care of children whose parents are incarcerated, an organization that takes care of women coming out of prison that would have care packages for them and a place to house them for the first 30 days. I didn't know that was in New Orleans. I didn't know where you would even begin to look if that were the case. But having done the research and being able to find those organizations and then to be able to share some of that information with my personal friends as well as the group as a large, I think has been a real eye-opener for me.
Okay, as a follow-up to that, and this is something I'd like Stacy and Darlene to address, if another diocese were trying to start a Women's Giving Circle, what two pieces of advice would you have for them?
That's a good question. Have faith, put God first, let God be the driving force, and think out of the box. I mean, Corey's a master at that. He's awesome. But think out of the box and tailor it to your community. You know, we're all different. And so there's another group in Louisiana that has a giving circle, and they started with a smaller amount because that fit their group. So just kind of figure out who's your market, what is, you know, your community, and what would work for your group. We found that the three having lunch for a kickoff, then we have a sip and see at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, have mass, and then we have just a little casual sip and see where the second group of grants present where the money's going to go. And then the final one is a breakfast. So that works for us, you know, so people that work can come to something lunchtime, middle of the day, they can take off for lunch. So you kind of just gear it to your audience.
I think that's well said. The only part that I would add is this has given us an opportunity to spread this message through the whole community and all the parishes. And so we've had the opportunity over the years to embrace and get to know and work with other parishioners from other parts of the city, metropolitan New Orleans area, whether it's Slidell, Mandeville. Now Baton Rouge has formed their own, but we had some members from Baton Rouge. And so don't put a limit on how far you can reach with your tentacles and let it just grow, because it's once it gets out there, people are just thirsting to be part of it. And I guess I would say find a dollar amount that works for your community. I mean, 1,000 was a good number for us, and we could still get good grants. But don't let that number shy you away from starting if you don't think that meets your community, or a larger number if you think that's better.
Yes, as Darlene referenced, We helped, CCF helped start at least two or probably more like four or five women's giving circles, but two that I know more closely. And we shared all of our materials with them, and they, you know, chose a donation level that was better for them and their steering committee and their organizers. And they've been very successful. They run things a little differently than we do, and it's all about giving. It's all about making your community better. One last question I have for our panelists. Can you share a specific moment or achievement that has made you feel most proud to be a member of the Giving Circle? Anyone want to start?
I guess what it's done most for me, and I have a little remark here that I may read it. As I recognize my responsibility to make others live better, doing this makes my life more meaningful as well. And I think that pretty much sums it up. Trying to make others around us live better. One of the years we used education as our mission. It's daunting. It's scary. And, of course, we could never even tip the iceberg. But it was the beginning, and we haven't given up. It's, you know, we still have over a four-year period. We can touch on that. But there's been missions that we've had to take a step at a time and continue to work with. And every year we find more ministries that fulfill that mission. And our grants committee does an excellent job. So that would be mostly where I guess I would say it's been the most meaningful for me.
Okay. Stacy, you have a moment?
I do. You know, when you go out in the community, you think, okay, I'm helping all these people, and we're so excited to be giving these grants. But then when you look around at the women that are part of the Giving Circle, and I've seen their faith grow deeper, that's been very powerful, that they're going deeper in their faith, and just thanking God for that.
Thank you, Stacy. I want to interject just a little thing before I answer Kathy's question, and that is on the process for the grant committee, since I've served on that. Up until this year, we would have a focus mission for statement that would come from the executive group, and then the grant committee would start reaching out, searching, who's doing this? And we would start, like, really beating the woods, you know, to say, does anybody know, like, by the time we finished, and there were five of us on the grant committee to compile our efforts, by the time we finished, we were very concerned that we had overlooked an organization or a ministry that was serving that we just didn't know about. And we tried to ask members as well, you know, does anybody else know anybody else who's working with children, who's doing this, and so that we could get more names. Moving forward, because we've grown to this place at this point, is that starting this year, we're going to reverse that. We're going to get the message of what our focus is out to the community and say, here's the deadline for you to submit an application. If your organization and ministry is Catholic, serving the Catholic community, and fitting into this mission. If you have a need, you fill out the application, you come to us. Then we can vet by going back to make the phone call to sit with them in person and say, tell me a little bit more about what it is you're doing. Who do you serve? When did you start? Where else did you get your funding? How can we help you? Now, on the personal side, making those phone calls and hearing the voices and the comments and this much surprise from the heads of these organizations and ministries has been very, very fulfilling, because for the most part, we've surprised them. You know, we're calling them out of the blue and saying, I'm part of this group. We give money away with grants every year. We think maybe you're doing something that we could give a grant to. What would be your needs? Can you tell me a little more about what you do? So they're going, ah, this is great. This is amazing. I can't believe you called. We have this needs. And so then we're able to kind of stop and streamline a little bit on, if you got a grant from us of $10,000, how would that help you Can you be specific? How would you use it? And who would you serve with it? So it's going to be a shift for this coming year. I think it's going to be much better, but we can only can get to that point because we've grown now to that point. And in my personal front, the year that we had the education of children as our focus, I had the opportunity to reach out to a precious, precious principal at an inner city school that had suffered some catastrophic damage from Katrina and had not had any money to rebuild. And so when I'm calling, she's like, you had no idea. But just this morning, I held a faculty meeting and told my staff that we're going to open up a reading lab. And they said, we are. Where are we going to do it? And she said, in that old library that we can't get the roof back on. I said, well, how are we going to do that? And she said, I don't know. That's not my problem. I told God this morning, that's the need. We have the need. It's your problem. These children don't know how to read, and I need a reading lab. And she said, and now you called. And she's weeping on the phone to say, you know, this is providential. And so those things are certainly impactful, not only to me, but to members of the community of this giving circle when they understand that the money that they have contributed has made this kind of a difference.
Thanks to our panelists. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and your insights with us. And working closely with them, it's been magical for me and has helped us develop a true friendship as well. So my gratitude to each of our panelists. Okay. Yeah, I have just a couple more things. And I'm going to have to go over these very, very quickly. Now that you've heard how meaningful this experience is, how do you start your own? Well, I'm going to go very quickly through each of these. First of all, you need the blessings of the diocesan leadership. We were very, very thankful to Archbishop Amen, who said yes to our starting our Women's Giving Circle with a little bit of reservation. He had no idea that 9 years later we would have an impact of $1.4 million in our community. Gather people. You've heard Stacy and Darlene and Celie talk about the impact of reaching out to your friendship, to your friends, your family members and such. Approach them, encourage them to reach out to others, and that's how we have grown. Word of mouth is our biggest impact here. Share your vision and values once you get those women together. Create the mission statement. Create the charter or whatever guiding document you choose. Establish a structure, particularly within the grant, within establishing grant guidelines. Who's going to house the money? How's the money going to be appropriated? Who's going to make sure that, you know, the Excel spreadsheet, keeping that Excel spreadsheet is very, very important. Invite members, and after your first meeting, consider what to do next and how to continue, how to make this mission grow, how to reach out and make it bigger and bigger and bigger. So the most important thing, piece of advice I have for you is to realize that gender matters. As a host organization, you must acknowledge that the traits and motivations of women in philanthropy are much different than those of men. Women use that seven-tiered model of giving, time, talent, treasure, which all of us know, but they also use testimony, ties, trust, transparency, and those are the hallmarks of a woman who is a donor. So, there are challenges. We didn't do everything right in our 9 years, and we'll probably continue to make a few mistakes, but those are learning experiences. And whatever challenges they are, the benefits of hosting a Women's Giving Circle far outweigh the challenges that we've experienced throughout the way. So I would encourage you to take a chance. Yes, question? Yes. Yes. Right.
So then the second question is, how much are your grants? Are they
They vary. They vary anywhere from this past year, our focus area was innovation. So one of the learning experiences we had with this focus area, this was our first time using innovation as a focus area. The proposals for an innovative project are generally smaller. They want baby steps and not, make a big investment. So after we had given more than what the top 9 organizations needed and extra, we had an extra $80,000. So we had $202,000 in the grant pool. We had $80,000 after we had figured out where, who was going to, which of the top 9 and how much they were going to get. We gave them much more than they needed. But remember, they have to spend it on that proposal. So we can't, be capricious with their money. We had $80,000 left. So we made it, the executive committee made a decision that we were going to be truly innovative and we were going to give to all 25 organizations that had given an innovative proposal. And so we awarded $5,000 grants in investment in innovation to those 16 organizations that had given proposals, some of which were more innovative than the top 9, but that's the way the voting goes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Kathy. I want to be really respectful of everyone's time, but let's first give Kathy a round of applause and a panel. So I think the next part of our agenda today is Mass at 5:15. I think, Kathy, will you be able to stick around for a few minutes to answer questions? And I think our panel will as well. So if you have any questions, please stick around. But thank you all for being here. I hope you've had a great conference and hope you have a great evening as well. Thank you for being here, guys. Thank you.